I told Eileen just to put verse 11 up there. I might read a little bit more than that. Get us started. Good to see the Bakers here with us today. It's been a while. Because she saw, you know, when I should have put the date. This is a lesson for you. When I posted it before last week, I just put homecoming tomorrow. Well, she must not have seen it then, and she saw it this week, and it said homecoming tomorrow. She must have saw it yesterday, and she thought I didn't have the date on there, but that's okay. Hey, come on down. And I had seen Honey and Greg at the Sunflower Festival, and I said, man, y'all come? Yeah, I said, tell Connie and Jeff and everybody come. None of them came. Is in because they must not communicate. Connie said, did they come? I said, no. That thing. But anyway, good to see them when they were, you know, be with us, and that's great. We appreciate them coming to be with us. Acts chapter 23, let's see. I'm going to start at verse 6, and we'll get down to verse 11. The Bible says, but when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question, and of the hope. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers, go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone coming out tonight, and we just thank you for our fellowship that we have amongst ourselves, Lord. Now we want to meet with you. As always, Lord, we're praying for your felt presence here today, and speak to our hearts again. Lord, thank you for the service this morning. Lord, and I just pray for someone that may be watching on Facebook. Hope they can be encouraged as well. If there's anyone lost there or here, Lord, that they'll see their need of being saved, Lord. And I pray that we can be encouraged by your word tonight, Lord. And we're living in troubled times, Lord, but we know we can look to you, look to your word, and we know you're with us, Lord. And so help us tonight, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That is the title of the message tonight, Encouragement in Troubled Times. Encouragement in Troubled Times. We're certainly living in troubled times. Man, I tell you what, it's discouraging to watch the news. The things that go on every time you turn around, if it's not something stupid being done by some of the leaders that we have, it's some kind of a crime, a shooting. You can't go to school, without shooting taking place. I think one took place last week somewhere. It's just some kind of thing, trouble going on everywhere you turn around. And when you think about that, and of course, discouragement's nothing new. I mean, God's people have been discouraged from, beginning of time all the way through. We look at Paul here. We read a little bit about what was going on. Paul, man, I'll tell you one thing about Paul's preaching, man. Everywhere he went, man, there was either a revival or a riot that was taking place. I mean, I heard somebody say that's the way it ought to be. When you preach the word of God, you know, either cause a revival or cause a riot. You know, a lot of everybody, they didn't agree with what he had to say. I mean, man, they were stirred up, and we see this big dispute coming up, the Pharisees and Sadducees disputing over Paul. And so he was in a discouraging situation. I mean, you might be in one. If you're not in one, you're coming out of one or getting ready to go in one. It'd probably be something that may discourage us, I'm sure. Paul was in bonds. He had been in bonds. He had been in prison before. He's guarded by a Roman soldier. He's in a fortress, a castle. He's being falsely accused about some things. And, you know, all the while thinking that, you know what, he's you know how your mind, I was talking about the mind this morning, that Paul is saying, you know what, I'm a servant of God. And there's people out there that probably preach it this way. They're not right. But you know what? You think, if I'm serving God, guess what? Everything's going to be smooth and everything's going to go well. A bed of roses, right? All the doors just open up. Everything's not going to be any opposition and all that. But I still think in Paul's mind there had to be times when things went the way they did. It's like, man, should I be doing something else? maybe, and I think there's several times that God appeared to him, and this is one of the times that God appeared to him to kind of encourage him along the way, because you don't need encouragement if you stay encouraged. And so Paul got encouragement quite often. There had to be times he wasn't encouraged with the way things were going. You think, boy, the ministry ought to be easier than this. I ought to be more successful. I'm causing more problems than I'm solving. But you think about the hinge of humanity or history, hinge of world history that took place from the Old Testament to the New, and he was right there on the hinge when everything was going from Judaism over to Christianity. And what kind of a man that was, a stress and a strain for everybody that was involved in that and in those days. And it's a stress and strain now too there. So from the outside, somebody looked at Paul's ministry, and if you kind of read along and all the discouragements, man, shipwreck, he even gave a course on everything that happened to him. Told how many times he'd been beaten with 39 stripes. Told how many times he'd been shipwrecked, left floating around out there in the ocean. One time they stoned him at a city, left him for dead. Right about then I'd be thinking, maybe I'm not doing the right thing. somebody would say, hey, brother, you're not in the will of God. If he'd have been in Lot's day, they'd have said, Brandon, you're just not in the will of God. That's why all these bad things are happening to you. And so I'm reading in Lot, man. I tell you what, it's some tough reading down through the middle of that right there when they got that discourse going on. Job. Wrong three-letter name. Job. When I'm reading in the middle of Job's life, and I mean, man alive, it's tough through there when they're going through that. He from the outside, it probably looked like at least that his ministry wasn't successful, or that his ministry might have been over. Every time, just think about the times that Paul was in prison, and he probably thought, well, this is, it's just done. I can't do anything here. Probably he might have thought that when he was in the Philippian jail, but he got somebody saved when he was in the jail. The Philippian jailer and his whole household was saved. And so it looked like it was over, and maybe even looked like it had been a failure from human standpoint, that it didn't look that good. But, sometimes we're looking for the applause of men. Just the way our flesh is like that, we want to have that. It ain't a bad deal sometimes to have that, to at least think, man, at least maybe somebody thinks I'm doing a good job. And Paul might have thought that, and didn't get much of it, but he might have thought that, and just from a human standpoint, it didn't look all that successful, didn't look all that good. But we never read, by the way, when Paul was in a lot of these stressing times, and even now, we never read that the church even made prayer for Paul. We don't read that. We did about Peter. Remember when Peter got locked up and he was in prison, man, and the church made prayer, and the apostles, they were praying, and the doors. We don't read that about Paul. We don't read that. He was in a really, because he was a Jew, he'd been a Pharisee, now he's in Christianity. He'd been persecuting the church. Half of the church or more was afraid of him, and the Jews hated him because he had left Judaism and he's preaching Christ. He didn't have any friends, not too many friends. And so we don't read that the church ever made prayer for him, and there's no record that the church took any steps to assist him in Jerusalem or during the 2 years that he was at Caesarea. The church didn't do anything to help him along. But then the Bible says in the key verse, in verse 11, it says, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." But the before that, I didn't read it. It said, "The night following, the Lord stood by him," and that's the key that I want us to think about tonight. It says that the Lord stood by him. You know what? The Lord knows exactly when to encourage us. The Lord knows exactly when to, he stands with us all the time, but we're not always present. He knows how to do it when we need that. And I'm going to talk to you about that tonight. Four things involved in Paul's encouragement that we see in our text here tonight. The number one thing is the presence of God. The presence of God. He said the Lord stood by him. Man, that's all you need to know right there. See, it doesn't matter. It's a different deal when you know that God is with you. And I'm going to tell you what, if you've ever been full of the Spirit of God, where you really feel the presence of God, man, there's a joy that bubbles up inside you that you can't explain that. And there's nothing, I'm going to tell you what, no dope is going to replace it. No alcohol is going to replace that. No human relationship is going to replace that. You can't explain that to anybody. I mean, I'm telling you what, there's times when you just feel God. I was sharing with you about that fellow I led to the Lord, my guide, and that day. And you know, I've led other people to the Lord, and we prayed and everything. And I'm sure that God was in that. Maybe God was dealing with him. But I'll tell you what, I don't know if God was on him more or me. Because I'm telling you, when I felt, I would just feel the presence of God. When I got done praying, I looked and his hands were going like this. It just felt, his hands were like that. And he was putting his hands up here and tears were coming down. He said, man, I'm getting so emotional. It surprised him. I don't think he was a person that normally got that way. He said, I'm just so emotional right now. And I'm going to tell you what, man, all them aspen trees and the sky was blue, man, and there was a little breeze blowing. And we were up, man, no humidity, what a blessing. And we were, and it was just like I could feel the love of God like welling up in my chest, even so much so that when we separated, he said, I'm going to set up over here and I'll call and you wait up here and the elk will come and you'll shoot one and all that. Didn't happen, but, well, it did, but... I got up there, man, I was just standing there, and I caught myself, I was telling Wednesday night, I caught myself just standing there in the woods, just grinning. It's a good thing another person didn't walk up. They said, what are you grinning at? I just can't tell you. I mean, I was just standing there grinning. You know, the presence of God, the felt presence of God. And nothing else, you know, seems to matter when that happens. And there's nothing more encouraging than that. Man, sometimes you wonder, you know, is God going to use me? And you know, we go through droughts, even in churches, man. There's, you know, we had a baptism before I left. What a blessing that was. And, you know, got to deal with some people and all that. And that doesn't happen all the time. I mean, in a lot of churches, it doesn't happen all the time, man. Sometimes you wonder, what am I doing? You know, am I doing any good? Am I just, you know, what's it doing? Paul, I'm sure he felt that way with everything that happened to him. Nothing more encouraging than the presence of God. As I said, not many people stood with him, but the Lord stood with him. And I think that's what kept Paul going. That's what kept Paul. And he had to come, he had to let him know several times. I think several times, because you think about the things that we go through. It was multiplied 100-fold against Paul with all the things that happened to him. The Bible says that the Lord promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And I'm going to tell you what. You say, well, man, I'd really like to feel the presence of God like that. I'll tell you what. Get doing what God wants you to do. Because you don't need the presence of God to cook a cheeseburger on the grill out back. You know, you don't need the presence of God to do a whole lot of things. But boy, when you got to preach the Word of God, to win souls, I mean, to be effective soul winner, you got to be filled with God to do that. And I'm going to tell you what, you start doing what God, that's why He empowers you. That's why He doesn't fill us with the Spirit just so we can feel good. I mean, God don't fill us with the Spirit so we can stand around grinning and just say, ooh, boy, I just feel the love of God. I mean, He fills us with His Spirit to get something done. And man, when we get, you know, when we start doing that, just start leading somebody to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, man, and go out and witness and do all those things. Even if they don't get saved, a lot of times you can feel God really working, man. And it's a great thing right there. He promised He wouldn't leave us. He promised He wouldn't forsake us. And listen, He promised even He put the words in our mouth to say. You got to believe it. And you go out there and you start doing, listen, God's right there with you. The Lord's right there standing there with you. God, if He lays somebody on your heart, I'm going to tell you, He's right there with you. I already knew. See, I already knew. I made my mind up. I said, I'm going to be spending one-on-one with a guide in Colorado. So I'm going to try to witness to him and the owner of the outfitter. I'm going to try to lead somebody to the Lord. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I didn't know how the door was going to open. I didn't know. I just made my mind. I even knew. I said, that guide with the dog is going to be my guide. I got out there. They said, yeah, you got Chase Rupp. He's got that. He's one with a little dog. I said, uh-huh. I knew. I mean, and I went, that's who I dealt with, because that was, but see, that was God's deal. God planned all that. He even knew it. Here's a guy that's lost. He don't know nothing. And, you know, he told me, he looked at me, he said, man, you know what? The whole reason that you're out here is because of this. And he just had got saved. I said, you're right. And if that don't make you happy, I don't know what else would right there. That encouraged right there. Listen, Paul had been, the Lord had appeared to Paul several other times in Acts 18. Paul was discouraged by the opposition. And I'm going to tell you what, being opposed all the time is a discouraging thing. He was discouraged by that. And the Lord appeared by night in a vision to Paul. And it encouraged him to stay where he was. It encouraged him in what to speak, what he had, and actually to who he was going to speak to. That was when he told him, you're going to go to the Gentiles. He said, don't worry about it. I got something for you to do. Man, that was encouraging for Paul. Okay, where's my ministry going? And not being very effective with the Jews. You're going to the Gentiles right there. And then he told him, that might not have been the time. That time there, he told him that there was people in the city. He goes, I have much people in this city. What the Lord was saying was, there's people in this city that's going to be saved. And he said, I got you right where I want you. He stayed there a year and a half teaching the word of God after that because the Lord encouraged him. In Acts 22, he was under arrest, wasn't sure what to do. The Lord appeared while he prayed and said he was in a trance, told him what to do and who to preach to. That's when the Lord told him who to preach to the Gentiles right there in Acts 22. He said, you're going to go to the Gentiles. And then in Acts 27, that was when Paul was on his ship. And it said, the angel of God or the angel of the Lord. And when it says the that way, that means it was a pre-incarnate Christ or a post. In that case, it was probably a post-incarnate Christ appeared to him. And Acts 27, and he was on the way. And he said, don't worry, Paul. Nothing's going to be lost. You're going to lose the lading of the ship, but you're not going to lose any as long as they stay on the ship. Remember that? And boy, the Lord appeared. So he stood there and he was able to witness to those guys. And people got saved that night. And so, hey, I mean, every time you go, there's a storm. Every time you turn around, there's an opposition. Every time, there's nothing, literally, no smooth sailing. When you know, it wasn't smooth sailing. And so, but the Lord appeared to him. So every time it seemed like, why, you know, it didn't happen every time that Paul was in the ministry, every single day, but right on time. The Lord, and we don't know what Paul's mind was, but apparently the Lord, I know the Lord knew, and apparently he might have been getting a little bit discouraged. There's nothing needed more today, this day, than the presence of the Lord. That's what we need. I mean, if we just all get here and we don't have God's presence, we don't feel God's presence, what do we do? We got a club, right? It's just a club. And it's if God's not in it, and nothing's going to get accomplished much, really, not much is going to get accomplished. In Exodus 33, when Moses was leading the Israelites after they had sinned, remember they worshiped the golden calf and they came down and found out about it? You know what happened? God was ready to kill him. And God threatened to remove his presence from them and wipe them out. And Moses went and he pleaded with the Lord in Exodus 33:15. And Moses said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up thence. If your presence isn't going, listen, I don't even want to go. If your presence doesn't, what an attitude to have right there. Now, here's a rule of life for us right there in that verse there. Man, Moses didn't want to go where God's presence was not. Can the Lord go everywhere you go? Can the Lord bless everything you do? Everything you say? You see what I'm saying? If we got to think about it right there, man, is the Lord in everything that we do? Every place we go? Like I said this morning, our direction, our path, the things that we're going. Is the Lord in that? Man, that'd be the rule of thumb right there, boy. The Lord stand with me in everything that I can do. And Moses said, listen, if you're not going, I'm not going. That's what he said right there. Boy, that'd be a good one right there. You ever gone any place you had to wonder where the Lord was going with you in that deal right there? After you got saved somewhere along the way? Yeah, I have. I knew good and well. I've been in places I knew good and well the Lord wasn't in. I knew good and well the Lord wasn't in that deal. And I didn't feel like the Lord was there either. Didn't feel that. And so Moses didn't want to do it. That's a good philosophy for life. We were talking about Joseph's faith on Wednesday night. We're kind of going through the people in Hebrews 11 about their faith and how their faith was. And you know what the thing, look what all happened to Joseph. You know, his brothers hated his guts. You got anybody that hates you? Yeah. His brothers hated his guts. They all wanted to kill him, actually, except one brother said, no, we can't kill him. They threw him in a pit. Then they saw a caravan and they sold him into slavery. You know the deal. Boy, Joseph's having a rough day, by the way. They took his coat and put some blood on it from an animal and lied to their daddy and said that he was killed. So here they got their poor old daddy thinking that the one boy's dead. He goes in and gets sold into slavery. Potiphar's wife, that deal with Potiphar's wife, she lied about him. And he got thrown into prison. How did he do all that? Well, I just think that Joseph, he had that attitude or that thought that he was in God's will or that the Lord was with him. He knew he'd had some dreams, he had some visions, but he had that straightened out in his mind that he was always, you know, that he was in God's will. And I think this right here, the Lord is always present with us And I know there's a technicality. Well, we're saved and he dwells in our heart and all that, but we can quench the spirit and grieve the spirit, and we can be separated from God spiritually speaking. So, but he's always present when we're in his will. I mean, there's a felt presence when we're in his will. You know, you ever notice when you're in God's will that there's a joy there that you just don't? You ever get grumpy? Huh? You ever get just like where, man, you're aggravated at everything? I know this probably don't happen to you. I'm probably the only one that happens to. You ever get real grumpy, and you ever get where, you're aggravated, and it's not at any particular thing. It's like everything. Huh? I mean, you're aggravated with the cat. You're aggravated with the dog. You're aggravated with your vehicle. You're aggravated with your spouse. You're aggravated with the kids. You know, you're aggravated. You ever get like that? You know, most of the time you'll find you're probably out of God's will somewhere along the way. Huh? You know what? You just get out of, you know what? You're not happy about nothing, especially as a Christian. Because you've got to be in the presence of God all the time to have that joy. That joy's missing. You're grumpy about it, man. I know the way, man. You don't have that dark cloud hanging over you, man, when you're in God's will. And so, man, I think that's encouraging right there. So when we're in God's will, God's always with us. You know, he always stands with us. And listen, when you're in the will of God and the Lord is standing with you, you can endure anything. You can endure anything. Joseph is a good example. The Apostle Paul is another good example. Look back at the martyrs that we know about from Christianity, from Christian history, that burned at the stake. I mean, I used to get burned every day. I was a welder up for years. I got burned every day, and it ain't no fun. Much less getting burned over your whole body all at one time. Burned at the stake, sawn asunder, skinned alive, flayed to death, it says in the Bible. How'd they do all that? The Lord stood with them. Mm-hmm. The Lord stood with them. That's it. You can endure any difficulty, any hardship, any discouragement you can endure when the Lord is standing with you. And it doesn't matter who stands against you. As long as the Lord stands with you. That's really what matters. I think we get so busy worrying about pleasing everybody, you know, humanly speaking. And there's nothing wrong with pleasing people either. There's nothing wrong with that. Not at the expense of pleasing God. You know, you can't do it that way. And so sometimes we're more worried about pleasing man than we are pleasing God. And I tell you what, you know what's going to happen to you then? You're going to get grumpy. You're going to get grumpy. You're going to be unhappy. You're not going to have joy because you just need to worry about pleasing God. And a lot of times when we please God, we do please other people. Please with that. And so, you know, seek his abiding presence. I mean, that is the key thing here for encouragement right there. So the very first thing there is the presence of God. The second thing is the precept of God, the precepts or precept of God. He said, be of good cheer, down there in verse 11. Be of good cheer. That is a command. Be of good cheer. I think the next time somebody's just flying off the handle mad, I'm going to stop. Say, stop. Be of good cheer. Just be of good cheer, right? That's the command from God. That's what he said. You know, a precept, the definition of a precept, it would be God's commands or rules used to regulate. That would be a dictionary definition of precepts. Rules used to regulate behavior. Okay? Rules used to regulate behavior. That'd be more specific. Encouragement comes from precepts. A lot of times we think encouragement comes from the promises of God. But encouragement comes from the precepts of God too, the rules. Rules from God. Listen, God's commands are given to bless us, not burden us. You know, they should have. When I was a kid, parents had rules. You know, there was just rules. And the rules weren't because my parents didn't love me. And they weren't because they said, hey, we're just going to make him suffer, watch him squirm. Well, they might have said that. I don't know. But no, I don't think they did. But they, you know, there was things I wanted to do and they'd say no. You know, Johnny, you can't play in the interstate, right? There's a reason for that. It's a blessing if you don't play out there. You know, don't stick a knife in the wall socket. Although you would probably learn on the first trip with that, you know, how to sling that thing across the room. But those things are designed for blessings to us, to rule, even the ones our parents give us. Same with God. God's got commands and he's got precepts and he tells us things, don't do this and do that. And it's all designed for blessings, even though our flesh might think that, you know, God hates us or it's not designed for our benefit in that way. But he said, listen, be of good cheer. That means it can be defined this way, take courage. God used that phrase a lot. I mean, he told Joshua, you know, take courage, to be of good courage, he said to him. You know, he said it to the palsied man in the Bible, when he went to heal him, he said, be of good cheer. He told the women that had the hemorrhage, the issue of blood, he told her, be of good cheer. He told the disciples in the upper room, he said, be of good cheer. You know, but listen, it's, you know what? Sometimes you don't even have to be told to be of good cheer. You're already there, right? So when they tell, when it's commanded to us, it's probably at a time when it's going to be hard to be of good cheer. You know, it's not always easy to be cheerful, right? When would God have to tell us? He doesn't have to tell us while we are cheerful. He has to tell us when we're not. And so, how many of you know that always obeying God is not easy? Huh? Obeying God all the time is not easy. Now, it's possible. It's always possible. God never gives you a command that you can't do. But sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's the hard times. And so to be of good cheer when things aren't going so well, Paul's in prison. He's been abandoned by everybody. He's being falsely accused. The church isn't even praying for him. He hadn't got too many friends on the outside. He's had all these other things happen to him in life. He's got a riot. He's done started up a riot among the Jews, which he loved the Jews. He was a Jew. He loved him. He's got a riot stirred up right then. He's thinking, man, is this how it's supposed to go? Am I supposed to have a riot every time I preach? Oh, I got to have people jostling me around right there. And the Lord says, cheer up. Be of good cheer, right? Oh, okay. Yeah, it's hard to do that, but it was a command to be of good cheer. And listen, when the Lord is with us, listen, it's, you know what? The Lord is with us. When he's with us, we can be of good cheer. I mean, I'll tell you what, it's going to happen in this day and time because of the way the Lord is with us, you know, we'll be of good cheer. So we got the precepts of God. That was an encouragement to Paul. He said, be of good cheer. He didn't say, hey, be downtrodden, be discouraged, look sour, you know, be grumpy. He didn't say that. We already know how to do all that. He said, be of good cheer. So we got those things. The Lord, we got the presence of the Lord. We got the precepts from God, precepts of the Lord. We've got praise from God. Look what he said. He went on to say him right there. Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem. You know what? God took note of that. God took note that he had been with him in Jerusalem. He had testified. He had been a witness. Now listen, that witness wasn't received very well in Jerusalem. You know what God told us? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say everybody was going to open the door with a smiling face and let you in. And he didn't say everybody was going to get saved. Hey, you know, you lead one every now and then. I'll tell you what, probably the truth is there's been more people that have not received what I had to say or what you had to say about the Lord than did. You know what? He wasn't received very well in Jerusalem, but the Lord took note. He said, you've been a witness for me in Jerusalem. Wasn't your fault. You did what you were supposed to do. I took note of that. He said, as you have been in Jerusalem, and he went on to tell him, you're going to be a witness for me in Rome. He said, you're going on with it. You know, you're not a failure. You're not washed up. It's not that you're not effective. You are effective. You've been a witness for me. You did what you were supposed to do. This is coming from the Lord himself. And so listen, what a blessing there from the Lord. Because like I say, the way things that went. And so from a human standpoint, he probably would have looked like a failure. But the Lord was pleased with Paul's testimony. And that's really what counts. It's not numbers. It's not in the numbers. I always go back to Noah. Look how long Noah preached. I think it was 120 years. What, 8 souls got saved? I mean, that's it. 120 years of preaching. I can relate. 120 years of preaching, man, that's it. Might have thought he wasn't, but you know what? Noah was doing what God wanted him to do. Noah did exactly what God. So it's the faithfulness there. So he got praise from God. That's encouragement. Well done, now, good and faithful servant, man. Words from the Lord right there. Boy, that's all you need to hear. That's all you need to hear. And then the fourth thing is the promise. From God, the promise. So thou must bear witness also at Rome. Man, listen, Paul probably wondering what was going to happen. Was he going to be beheaded? Was he going to die? Was he going to be killed? Was his ministry over? Was he not very effective? The Lord said, listen, you were witnessing in Jerusalem. You were going to be a witness in Rome. You know what? Paul always wanted to go to Rome. He had been trying to get to Rome from before. He wanted to go there and to testify right there. But right now, listen, the circumstances didn't look too good. How? You know, I can hear him now. If he'd have been a Baptist, well, how am I going to get to Rome? You know, you want to know all the details. And God worked it out. We know that happened. And so, you know, it looked like to him that his whole ministry might have been over, But yet, God gave him a promise that you are going to Rome. Guess what? Invincible. Man, I mean, you know, he ended up losing his life for his testimony. He was put to death eventually, but not right now, you know. I mean, wouldn't it be, you know, right now, it wasn't nothing. No shipwreck wasn't going to sink him. Nobody was going to be able to stone him to death. Nobody was going to be able to cut his head off. Listen, until he got, Paul knew that he was safe as he could be until he got to Rome and did some witnessing. That was what was going to happen. Why? Because God said so. God said, you're going to Rome, man. He said, man, he had a mission. Huh? He had a commission. He had a mission. He was on the way to do it, and the Lord had established that. You know what? And after this, after the Lord, if you go on and read and study out there through the book of Acts, after the Lord told him with it, stood with him, said, you're going to Rome, guess what? Things didn't turn into a bed of roses. They still weren't easy. Man, he still had the leaders lying about him. He still had a fanatic that tried to kill him. Others people just ignored him, didn't pay any attention to what he had to say. But he had this promise from God. And that's all that really mattered. God didn't say, listen, you're going to lead anybody to me when you get there. He said, you're just going to go there and testify of me. And man, that, listen, a praise from God. You're going to go to Rome. Listen, nothing, nobody be able to stop you. The Lord was with him. The Lord stood with Paul. The Lord was fulfilling his will through Paul. That's how the Lord, this was how God was working. Man, he was using this one guy in a powerful way. Early church, man, things were going right there. So we see here's how the Lord encouraged Paul, and the Lord can encourage us the same way. I'll be done. He encouraged Paul with his presence. He encouraged Paul with his precepts. He encouraged Paul with his praise. And he encouraged Paul with his promise right there. And we have the same thing. We got it right here. Listen, we got the promise of God. There's promises in here, all through here, that we can be encouraged by that. All those things I said about the Lord never forsaking us nor forsaking us. The Lord, that he put the words in our mouth, that he's told us he gave us a commission to go in all the world and preach the gospel. We got it right here in the Bible right here. You know what? That we know that God wants to use us somehow. Everybody, not just me. You don't have to be educated to do anything. That boy that I led to the Lord, man, what a blessing. You know, you never know how somebody, I always like to see, I've got jaded over the years of leading people to the Lord, because I just seen too many times it just didn't, they didn't really get it. It wasn't a real thing. And I know that happened, discouragement, sure enough. But man, here's this guy. The next day he goes out with us. We're walking along. David Sanderson was with us. We were going out there in the woods, and he's walking along. He pointed to Dave. He said, see that ridge right over there? That's where I got saved, right there. And that's the testimony right there. He got in a truck with another guide that evening, and they went with another hunter. And man, them guys came back, and here this guy was lost as all get out. And he come in here, he said, man, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. He's looking at me. I was going, what? I didn't know what he was talking about. He said, what? I heard what happened. Man, I heard that. Man, that's something. This guy here is witnesses, and somebody else that's lost, he knows nothing other than he got saved. That's all he knows. Man, I mean, that's the deal right there. He was making an impact. And the other guy that went, his daddy was a pastor, so he was a Christian too. But he had been a little timid, I guess, in his witness. But it kind of pumped him up, see. So, man, I mean, it all worked together. And so, that's an encouragement. You know, we got the promise from God. We got his presence, his precepts, his praise. We got it all in the Bible right here. The presence of God, his Holy Spirit. Man, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you what, nobody got to tell you to witness when you're full of the Holy Spirit. It just comes out. You can't stop it. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Paul, you